Amen. Thanks, Mike. Good. Hey, everybody. Good morning. Just getting my thoughts together, that's all. So I just fill in time there. I just fill in some things when I'm trying to get my thoughts together. Hey, who likes a good story? We all like good stories, right? We all like, you have like a blockbuster movie that is one of your favorites or something like that. We all have movies. Do you have an author that you like that you just, when their book comes out, you just get it, and it's awesome, right? And you will not miss their book. Or a TV show, this day and age, everyone's binge-watching TV shows, right? That's the thing. You just let it collect up for a year, and then you say, all right, just watch them right after another. So one of the shows that I'm watching right now is called You, Me, and the Apocalypse. It's on NBC. And what I like about this kind of story is that there's a whole bunch of little stories within this big story. And have you ever read a book or watched a movie where there's a whole bunch of little tiny stories going on throughout it? And then at the end, when it's all coming to an end, a final conclusion, all these sub-stories end up converging together, right, into a final conclusion of the story. You know what I'm talking about? One of those. And so that's the show that I'm watching right now. I really like it. And I wanted to say that it's kind of what this morning is about. And it's about, you know, a lot of the church looks like that. The church looks like that, where there's a whole bunch of sub-stories going on. Each and every one of your lives represents a story. I'm going to get into that in just a minute. And each life here is a story that points to a bigger story. Everybody who's sitting in here right now, you've got a story about your life. And every single one of your stories is pointing to a bigger story. And every life here has a purpose in Christ. And that purpose is to reveal and to share a bigger purpose. And I want to say this morning that your life is not arbitrary, it's not meaningless, it's not pointless, it's not without meaning. Everyone who is in this place right now, your life has a purpose in Jesus. In Christ, your life has purpose. And I want to tell you this morning that God is writing a story with your life. God is writing a story with each and every one of your lives. And once we can understand how all of our little stories fit into his big story, then we will understand the purpose for our lives and the purpose of this big story that God is revealing and he's showing to the world through you and I. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to turn with me to 2 Corinthians, we're going to look there today. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 6. So let me just give you, before I read this passage, let me just give you a little bit of context on what Paul is talking about. Here is Paul, and he's writing to the church in Corinth, and he immediately, we're in chapter 3, so he greets them, he tells them, hey guys, remember how great of a relationship we have, I'll be going here, I'll be going there. He gives them his itinerary, and then in chapter 3, he goes right at one of the issues that is within the church, and he goes right to it. And one of the issues in the church, as we're going to see in just a minute, is that in the church, there had been false teachers coming in. And these false teachers were sort of like peddlers. They were coming into churches to get money. They weren't concerned about the transformation of lives and the gospel going forth, but they were concerned about how much money they could make as they ministered. And so what they found and what they discovered was that these ministers were carrying around with them false letters of recommendation. They were forged letters. And these letters of recommendation is what they would present to the churches and say, this is my recommendation. I am qualified and I have the authority to minister here because of this letter. Here's my recommendation, okay? But they were false. They were fake. And so here's Paul. They discover this, and Paul just is addressing this issue in the church. And as he addresses this issue in the church, he turns it around into a beautiful teaching opportunity for you and I. Here's a church that is going, here's an issue that within the Corinthian church, and he uses it for a great teaching moment for you and I. And so let's read it together. Well, not together. I'll read it. Let's not all read it together. In for chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, he says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Verse 2, this is important. You yourselves are our letter. You yourselves are a letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, not written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And such confidence we have. And is this through ours, through Christ before God? Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything of ourselves. But our sufficiency comes from God. And He has made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So Paul's saying here, look, I don't need a letter of recommendation. I don't need to authenticate. I don't need people to vouch for me here. You yourselves are my vouch. Your life is my vouch. Your life is my letter of recommendation, he's saying. I don't need someone to prove that I have the authority to minister. The evidence of your life is proof. The evidence of the transformation of your life is proof. And he says something so profound here. He says, you yourselves are the letter, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter written from Christ by the Spirit of God, known and read by everybody. And he's saying here, in other words, he's saying, your life is my recommendation. Your life is my letter of recommendation that I need. It's the proof that I need to go and minister to places. The transformation of your life is the letter of recommendation that is to be read by all who come across your path. It's the evidence of your life, he's saying. The evidence of your life that you show that you are a letter from Christ to be read by everybody else. I love this imagery here. Your life is evidence that you are a letter from Christ to the world to be read by everybody. How about that? And that's the heart of this morning's message. God is writing a story with your life. He is writing a story with your life. Think about that for just a moment, that the creator of the entire universe, who imagined the sun, who imagined everything that you can buy, who imagined our mind, the God who spoke things into existence, he is writing a story with your life. The Spirit of the living God has written upon your hearts. And Paul is referring to a prophecy in Jeremiah 31 that was made, where God says, I'm going to write upon their hearts of his people. And he's writing a story that ultimately fits into and is essential to God's plans and purposes that he is revealing to this world. I want everyone to know here this morning that your life has purpose and meaning. You may have heard this message 100,000 times. You've been coming to church your whole life and heard that my life has purpose, my life has purpose. Some of you here may have not have heard that ever before. I want you to leave here knowing that your life has absolute purpose in Christ. Absolute purpose. It's not meaningless. It is not just arbitrary. God did not just create you and say, oh, here you are, here's another being. But when he saw you, he created something special, and he created you for his purposes. And so he's writing a story with your life. He's writing a story with your life. And it's extremely important. Your story of your life is extremely important to God's plans and ultimate purposes. It absolutely is. When you look through the Bible, and you read through the Bible, you can see that God is actually weaving the events of life together for his grand purposes. He's very intentional about everything he does. He's a very intentional God. Very intentional. He has purpose behind everything. And you know, we learned last week that not only did God create us for himself, but that he created us for a purpose. Okay? And so understanding this idea of God writing a story with your life that ultimately fits into his big grand story and helps his story have full disclosure to the world. As people know you and where God has planted you in your life, your life story speaks of God's ultimate story. I'm going to explain that in just a few minutes. The story of your life, the story that he's writing of your life, your story, not anybody else's story, your story is a part of his ultimate story. Is a part of his ultimate story. And this is what I want you to understand this morning. The story of your life is being scripted right now by the hand of God. by the Spirit of God for His ultimate purposes. God has an ultimate grand purpose. An ultimate grand purpose. To have all of His creation, all who will accept this gift of grace, to be and live with Him forever in fellowship and communion. In a perfect relationship. He sent His Son Jesus to die. So that all of mankind, all who would believe in that and confess that He is Lord and Savior of their lives, would have everlasting life with Him. This is His grand story that He is revealing to the world. And this story is unlike any other story that's ever been written, because this story is absolute truth. And this story is eternal. It's eternal. It's not something that's going to have a finality end. It's going to live on for eternity. It's an everlasting story. God is revealing His story through your life. God is revealing His story through your life. And you know what? God is an amazing author. He's an incredible author. You know, one thing I love about God and that I found out about God is you read through His Word, you find out that God has a flair for the dramatic, doesn't He? His story is filled with suspense. His story is filled with adventure. His story is filled with mystery. And it all comes to a conclusion with a romance. Where Jesus will be married to His bride when heaven and earth come together as one. It's a love story being told. And there's suspense and mystery and adventure. He knows how to write a great story. He knows how to take a sequence of events and put them together to finally come to some complete ending that's going to be mind-blowing. He's an incredible author. He's an incredible author. And you know, I don't know about you, but if I was the author of my life and I was writing my story, it would look completely different than what it looks like right now. Anybody else? If you were writing your story and you had control over the writing of your story and how it was going to be mapped out, it would look completely different than what it looks like now, wouldn't it? It absolutely would. And if I'm being completely honest, I don't always understand what God is writing. And if I'm completely honest, I don't always enjoy what God is writing. And that's the truth, right? We can all fall in that category. And it's kind of like what we talked about last week, where God was leading His people, right? He was leading the Israelites through the desert and through the wilderness for 40 years. And you know, they did not understand the bigger picture. They didn't realize that what was happening with them, that their freedom from slavery and their release from slavery in Egypt was going to be a major, major part of God's ultimate story. They didn't realize that what they were going through had purpose and meaning. I'm sure we're all like them, and we can see that you wouldn't be able to see past what you're going through. How can this actually matter, God? And we see through Scripture that the Israelites absolutely did not enjoy what they were going through. They absolutely did not enjoy what they were going through. And what happened? They ended up complaining, and they ended up grumbling, and they ended up turning away from God. And we're a lot like the Israelites, aren't we? We're a lot like the Israelites. When we cannot see for ourselves how our circumstances, how our suffering, how our trials, and how our difficulties fit into God's big picture and purposes, we find ourselves grumbling, don't we? And we find ourselves complaining. And we find ourselves getting angry with God. Well, why, God, am I having to go through this? And we find ourselves at times falling away from Him because we're not able to just step back, zoom out of our own personal lives and see God's big picture at hand. This is one of the biggest problems that we have, is that we get so focused on what's in front of us that we cannot understand. We don't see how what is in front of us and what we're going through and the circumstances and situations and the sufferings that we are facing. How does that fit into your grand picture, God? And we take it upon ourselves as though this is what I'm supposed to go through, which it is. But there's a purpose behind everything. There's a purpose why you find yourself in that circumstance. But nevertheless, we have to remember who the author is. It's Him. It's not you. It's not me. God does not write junk stories. He only writes masterpieces. And He's writing a masterpiece with your life. He's writing a masterpiece with your life. You see, if you have asked Jesus into your life, if you've accepted His gift of grace and you accept it, and you gave your life to Him and say, Lord, you're Jesus, you're the Lord and Savior of my life. What happens then is you become a character in God's ultimate story. You become a character in God's ultimate story. The promises that are given to the body of Christ are now applied to you. And I don't know if you've ever read through the Bible and opened your word up, but you see, you're reading something and you say, man, this is exactly what I'm going through. I've felt this before. And you know what? I felt His comfort in that too. This is my story. I'm in here. You are all in this story because you're the body of Christ. And you become a character in God's ultimate story. And so God places you. You're placed in God's ultimate story. And so your story, which you may think is little, mundane, and pointless, actually has a very significant role to play. Has a very significant role to play. You see, God is revealing His story through you. God is revealing His story of redemption through your life. God is revealing His story of reconciliation through your life. God is revealing His story to the world of forgiveness through your life. He is revealing His story of grace through your life. God is showing the world on the big screen His story through your life. And that's why every single life in here has purpose and meaning. And I don't want you to think that, you know, your life is just boring and mundane and ordinary. God, every life here may be ordinary. You may think it's ordinary that you wake up, you go to school, you go to school or you brush your teeth. I hope you brush your teeth before you leave the house. You wake up, you brush your teeth, you eat breakfast, you go to school, you go to work. You come home. You eat dinner, you sit on the couch, watch a little bit of TV, you go to bed, you do it again, and 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 again. Right? And sometimes we feel like our lives are ordinary, but let me tell you something. God does so much with the ordinary life. There is so much purpose in the ordinary life. There is absolutely so much purpose in it. God is telling His story through your story. And He is revealing Himself to the world through the hearts and the lives of His people. That's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians here. That's exactly what he's talking about. He meant that your life is a living letter. A living letter that is being written by the hand of God. And it's intended to be read by others. Your life is a living letter written by the hand of God. That is intended to be read by others. You see, the purpose of your story is to make God look really good. Not you. The purpose of your story is to make God famous. The purpose of your story is to give Him all the glory. The purpose of your story is to point to Him as the only one. Your story is to point to Him, point to Him, point to Him, point to Him. What you go through in life and how you respond to the circumstances and the situations in your life should point to Him. Should point to His ultimate story. When you find yourself in a low place and you feel like you have no comfort, where does your comfort come from? It comes from Christ. And people will see that. Now, how can you be so happy? Jody just showed me a text message from one of her neighbors that she lives right next to. It's her literal neighbor. And I know they've been working with this guy for a long time. And he just showed her, he's like, there's something so different about you. He said, you guys are so happy. I want what you guys have. It's essentially what that text message have. And he just kept going and going. He's like, I feel like when I'm surfing, I see God in the waves. And I've never felt that before. Something is changing. That's what it's about. Their story of His story is revealing His story. They wouldn't be reaching out to their neighbor if God had not redeemed them from a lifestyle and had reconciled them and shown them forgiveness and grace and mercy. But because of what He did for them, they show it to their neighbors. And so now somebody else is impacted by their story because their story points to His ultimate story. Are you following me? Your story speaks about God. And it points to the nature and character of God. And I know that when you're in your story, there are times when the story seems impossible. How am I going to get through this part? Have you ever watched a good movie and the story's going on? Like, how is he going to escape this, right? How is this person going to escape this? How are they going to get through this? And I know there are times in your story when it seems absolutely unfair. Oh, this isn't fair, God. Why do I have to go through this and they don't? They're your children. Do you love them more? You're a God who's fair and just, right? Well, where's my fair and justness? And you find yourself saying this to God. And I know there are times in the story when it seems pointless, mundane and ordinary. But I'm here to remind you and to encourage you. I'm here to encourage you this morning to give yourselves fully to the one who is writing your story. And to give up trying to write your own story and to surrender your pen of your life to the one who is the perfect author, the one who is writing your story. Your story speaks of God's grace. Your story speaks of the companionship of God. Your story speaks of the provision of God. Your story speaks of the forgiveness of God, the security of God, the love of God, the peace of God. Your story is saying this to the world. God is revealing himself to this world through your story. Through your story. And you know, we may not understand it for ourselves. And we don't understand why we're going through this or why we're going through that and why our story is turning out like this. But that's why God is God and we're not. It puts us in the perspective, doesn't it? That we are created beings. So we have no room for pride. Because we're created beings. We have nothing. That's what he says here. Our competence comes from God. It doesn't come from anything that we do on our own. But our sufficiency comes from God and God alone. Your story is extremely important because you make Jesus the all-star of your story. He's the MVP. He's the Oscar winner. He gets all the credit. He gets all the accolades. He is he gets the one that gets all the attention. Your story points to Jesus as the king. And you see, his story is made complete by your story. His story of redemption and reconciliation, it's to be the very fabric of your story. His story is what's supposed to hold your story all together. And in the story of our lives, it points to the greatness of Jesus. The story of your life should be pointing to the greatness of Jesus Christ. And so when we surrender our lives to be written by him, let's say this. And I found this prayer that I found written in a book somewhere. And the author said, "Here, God, here's the pen of my life. Here's the pen of my life. You are a much better author than I am. So here, take it. And write it the way that you want to write it. God, here's the pen of my life. You are such a better author than I am. Take it here and write it the way you want." And so then he begins to unveil his story through your story. And your story becomes an important part of the ultimate story. I mean, we can all say here that we've all tried at some point in our lives to write our own story. Didn't we not? At some point along down the road, we all tried to write our own story. We all tried to be independent of God and said, "God, I'm going to try to write out my story. Because I think I could do a pretty good job. I bet you I could do a pretty good job." And I was saying this in the first service. This is the biggest problem that mankind falls into. It's what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. And he fell into sin. Is that I can do better than God. Or I can be independent from God. Is a better way. I don't need God. And so when you say that, you come into that place where you say, "I don't need God. I can write this my life out. I can map my life out the way I want to map it out." How many of you can say in here and testify that when you tried to map out your own life, it didn't go too well, right? It didn't go too well. That's the story of my life. When I tried to live my life independent of God in my life, it led me to a path that is unspeakable in some ways. And so we understand that the ultimate story is being revealed to the world through your story. And so as the body of Christ, each and every person who's sitting in a seat here today, every person, the body of Christ, the church, the collection of our stories points to the greatest story of all time. All of our stories together are pointing to this awesome story of God's redemption and freedom and forgiveness and grace. His story is being revealed to the world through your story. Next week, Liz and I will not be here. Minister Mike will be preaching next week, but her and I will be in New Orleans next week for a wedding. One of my closest friends is getting married, and now when I go to be with these friends, these are the friends before Jesus was the part of my life, and I love that God has allowed us to keep such a close bond. We're still brothers, and even though our lives are on different paths, but when I go there, they understand my story. They know my story before Jesus entered it. And now every time that I go to be with them, they see a different story. They see a different story. And I trust that when I'm around them for these 5 days, that my story, our story, is pointing to Jesus Christ. That my story is pointing to them. They know my life. They know everything I've been through. They know everything. These are the closest friends that I have. And so now then when they see my life, they see it a different story. And so I believe and I trust that God has allowed us to keep these relationships for an absolute purpose. Because like we said in the past couple weeks, God is drawing creation to himself. With his loving kindness being revealed to the world, God is drawing them to himself. And I believe that God is drawing the people in your circle of influence to himself. Some will respond to it, some will not. That's just the truth of the matter. But the fact of the matter is that God is revealing his loving kindness to this world. And he's revealing his ultimate awesome story to this world through your story. Through your story. Amen? Amen. So as we're on this topic, I want to mention this. This is very important as we're on this topic of understanding that God is writing a story with your life. And that your story has purpose and it has meaning. And that is this. Be careful not to compare yourself to other people. Be careful not to compare your story with someone else's story. And say, wow, their story has much more purpose than mine. Apparently, obviously, I can see it. Their story is much more important than mine. My story doesn't have much purpose. There's not much to my story. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author, the originator, and the perfecter of faith, and to run the race that is set out before us. You know what that means? Is God has set out a race for each and every one of us. And we are to fix our eyes on him as we run this race through life. So don't compare yourself to the person running next to you or the person running to your left. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. That is God's mandate for you, to stay in your lane and run the race that he has mapped out for you, that he has set out for you. Don't compare your story to someone else's story and say, well, their story seems to be a lot more interesting than mine, or their story seems to have much more importance than my story. You see, what happens when you compare yourself to others is you will get discouraged. That's a biblical truth. When you compare yourself to other people and how other people are doing, you will get discouraged. When you wish that your story looks so much more like somebody else's story, or you look over and see that someone may be running past you, maybe. Looks like they're running a little faster. Looks like they're running a little harder. Don't compare yourself to them. Because you let yourself become envious of them. And it will lead you straight to discouragement. Because discouragement is the fruit of envy. Discouragement is the fruit of envy. So do not compare yourselves to other people. Do not compare yourself to someone else's story and say, oh, their story is much more powerful than my story. My story is just plain, it's boring, there's not much to it. You may be here this morning thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, I really don't have a testimony like so many other people. My story doesn't just scream and shout of a radical life transformation where I've been delivered for something or something like that. Maybe my story isn't as grand, it seems, as somebody else's. I've never really strayed away. My story isn't very important because it really doesn't bring anything to the table because I've followed Christ from day one and I really haven't strayed away or had some radical transformation or reconciliation. So my story isn't like everybody else's story. My testimony isn't powerful like that. I want to tell you something. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Your faithfulness and your devotion to God in a world that is screaming at you to compromise has so much importance that I can't even begin to describe to you. To be faithful and devoted from God. Maybe you were born in the church and you just stayed following God for your whole life. and you think, oh, my story is not powerful, it's not meaningful, let me tell you, your story, you have something about your story that other people cannot say about their story. And that is a faithfulness and a devotion to God. Your faithfulness demonstrates to the world the faithfulness that God has towards mankind. That's a lot of things, that's something that a lot of people in this room cannot say. And so I want to encourage you that your story speaks about God in a way that others, most others cannot. And so I want you to see this morning that how the collection of all of our stories makes up God's ultimate story that He is revealing to the world. That's pretty cool. Everyone in this room, you have a story, and God is writing your story out. And your story is pointing to His ultimate story. So allow yourself. So instead of looking to somebody else and looking at somebody else's life, look at your own life. And look at what God has mapped out for you. Because if you compare your life with somebody else's life, it's going to kill your joy. It's going to kill your joy. So I want to encourage you today. We're going to finish up right now. And I promised that I would end at exactly 12:15 because we have a guest luncheon downstairs. So I'm going to finish this up by saying this. When God created you, He made something special. I don't want anyone to think in this room that you are not special in the eyes of God. He created you exactly the way He wants you, with all the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that He has given to you for a purpose. And His purpose for placing each one of us on this earth is to glorify Him. And we glorify Him by living lives that please Him. And living lives that point others to Him. Amen? Amen. So what I want to say to you today is surrender the pen of your life to the author. And now I know that there's a trust issue that people have. We all have trust issues. But I am encouraging you, I'm reminding you, that when you place your trust and complete surrender to Him, and you say, God, here's the pen of my life, I'm letting You have it, I'm giving up, have it. Just take it. When you do that, you are surrendering your life to the most perfect hands you could possibly ever give them to. He will not let you down. The stories in this room are the stories of God's faithfulness over and over and over and over and over again. The stories in this room are the trustworthiness of God, where we trust Him with this little bit and He shows Himself to be so faithful to that, and so we give Him a little bit more. And then we have to trust Him with a little bit more, and we say, okay, God, I'm going to give You a little bit more. I'm going to trust You with this. And then He shows Himself faithful and trustworthy, and so you give Him a little bit more, don't you? And so then you say, okay, God, here's a lot more that I'm giving You. God, I've got to trust You with this. You've been faithful and trustworthy with the other things, so I'm going to give You this. And what does He do? He shows Himself faithful and trustworthy in that. And you give Him more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And that's how your faith grows. That's how your faith grows. So let me encourage you today to be a people who will surrender the pen of your life to the author and say, God, here is my pen. You're a much better author than I am. I tried to write this thing and it didn't work out too well. Here's my pen. Take it and write it the way that you want it to be written. Can we be that people? All right, I'm going to pray for you guys. And then if you guys would just play some music when we exit, that'd be great. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, if we're honest with You, it's difficult sometimes to surrender our lives. It's difficult to trust, to place our trust in something that we cannot see. But Lord, we know that that's faith. And Lord, You have shown Yourself faithful over and over and over again. And Lord, I thank You that each and every story in this room points to the greatness of Your story. That this room is filled with grace and Your peace, and Your love, and Your forgiveness, and Your mercy. This room is filled with Your story, God. And Lord, I know that You have placed each and every person in this room. You've placed each and every person in this room exactly where You want them in their lives, to reveal Your story through their story. So God, what a privilege it is that not only did you save us and send Your Son to die for us so that we can spend eternity with You, but Lord, You gave our lives purpose. It's what keeps us living for You. It's what keeps us to obey your word and to obey your commands and to submit our lives to you yet again. And so, Lord, today we surrender our lives to you again. We have to do this on a constant basis, God. So if you're in agreement with me, just say to the Lord, Lord, I surrender to you. I surrender to you today. I'm going to trust you to write my story, Lord God. Because there's no better author than you. So Lord, here's my life. Have it and write it the way you wish. And Lord God, may I walk through this life not complaining and grumbling, but Lord God, that I would be joyful and at peace in every situation and circumstance that you have led me into. Because I know that my life is pointing to your story. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. Lord, I pray that you bless each and every person in this room. I pray that you bless them tremendously, Lord God. I pray that you bless them financially. I pray that you bless them in their provision. I pray, Lord God, that you bless them in their spirituality. I pray, Lord God, that when they are seeking your face and in their times when they are spending time with you, that you would reveal yourself to them like never before. Bring revelation to their spirits, Lord God, and their minds and their hearts. Lord God, I pray that you bless them with opportunities to speak of who you are. These are your people, God, that you have planted at this place, on this face, at this location, on this earth. And Lord God, I'm so blessed to be in it with them. So bless them, Lord God. Encourage them each and every day as your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.